Good evening. It's truly a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I am always humbled and honored by the opportunity to proclaim God's word to you. The scriptural reference this evening will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 12. Here, the word of God says, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you." As an introduction, I would like to begin the sermon by providing some information on the environment in which the Corinthian brethren live. The ancient city of Corinth was a very prosperous commercial city in Greece, a city with a very cosmopolitan population. People lived there from all over. A city that prided itself in intellectual sophistication. A city most known for being a city of pleasure. Corinth was notorious for its loose morals. The Isthmian Games were held there every other year. This made Corinth a great center of life in ancient Greece. It was the center of worship for the goddess Aphrodite, the so-called goddess of love. With these details in our possession, it is not hard to understand that Corinth would be a demanding city in which to live a Christian life, surrounded by immorality and the pursuit of sin, a society that supported the fleshly side of man, not very different from the moral climate of our country today. The last Lord's Day of 2014. Like ancient Corinth, the world today is focused on the things of this world. 1 John 2, verses 16 and 17 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever." You know, the world will continue in their worldly conduct the rest of this year and on into the new year. The world is predictable. We know what the world is going to do. But my question this evening is, what will you do? What will be your conduct in the year 2015? What will be your conduct the remainder of this year? How will you live? In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12, we have information on the direction. It provides direction on how we should live in this world. This verse provides us with a testimony on Christian conduct, an example I pray we will strive to emulate or manifest in our lives. Let's read our text again. Again, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. The consciences of Paul and those with him were guided by the word of God. And when Paul and those with him queried their consciences, when they probed their consciences, the testimony returned from their consciences is a report on Christian conduct. The report given by their consciences can be used as a standard for Christian conduct and Christian growth as we live today and prayerfully in 2015. So let's study this report that was delivered from a godly conscience, a conscience inspired by God. The testimony of the conscience reported four characteristics of their conduct. One, they conducted themselves with simplicity or holiness, depending on the translation. They conducted themselves with godly sincerity. They conducted themselves in a manner that was not motivated by fleshly wisdom. They conducted themselves in a manner that was motivated by the grace of God. Let's start with simplicity. Their conscience reported that they conducted themselves in the world in simplicity. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, but it is important to note that a number of translations have the word holiness rather than simplicity, like the American Standard Version and the NIV. Holiness or holy means set apart unto God, purified, consecrated, set aside for special and dedicated use by God for his glory and for his honor. The concept of simplicity, which is in the King James Version of the Bible and the New King James Version, has to do with singleness of heart, singleness of purpose, having an end in view, aiming with focus and intensity at the glory of God. Vine's Bible Dictionary uses the word unaffectedness to define simplicity. The goal is to be not affected by the circumstances of life. Regardless of the translation, it is clear that they lived in this world devoted to God with singleness of purpose in the midst of challenging circumstances. This would be an excellent way for us to live, dedicated to God and focused on bringing glory to him. Not only was simplicity reported, but the testimony of their conscience also reported that they conducted themselves with godly sincerity. Literally translated, the sincerity of God, sincerity that finds its origin in God, sincerity in us that is generated from our relationship with God. As many of us know, true sincerity is difficult to find in the world today. We frequently have to concern ourselves with ulterior motives and hidden agendas on the part of others. The world today is full of duplicity. Let's go to the dictionary for a minute. Webster's dictionary provides the following concerning duplicity. It says it is contradictory doubleness of thought, speech, or action, especially the belying of one's true intentions by deceptive words or actions. Godly sincerity is the opposite of all of this. Godly sincerity is the opposite of duplicities. Christians should not be living double lives. Our actions are not to be contradictory, behaving one way among the brethren and another way with the world. Our actions are not to be based on where we happen to be or who is in our presence. Our conduct should not be ruled by the influences of the devil, but our conduct ought to be ruled by the principles in the Word of God. As we endeavor to be better Christians the rest of this year and looking forward to 2015, let's be examples of godly sincerity. Let's have a God-influenced sincerity. Let's make sure that our motives are directed by the will of God. Let's live our lives with an enhanced awareness of God's presence. When we speak, let's speak with a knowledge of God's presence. When we take actions, in the actions that we take, let's take them with the knowledge of God's presence, without disguise, without deceit. Live your life with a godly transparency, for God is a witness of your sincerity. Moving on to the next point. Not only was simplicity or holiness and godly sincerity reported, but the testimony of their conscience also reported that they conducted themselves without the use of fleshly wisdom. The majority in the world today use fleshly wisdom in their decision making. This is wisdom motivated and dominated by human desires. Those who direct their lives using fleshly wisdom will not have pure motives. Those who direct their lives using fleshly wisdom do not have a problem disguising their motives and having hidden agendas. Fleshly wisdom says, do whatever it takes to get what you want. Fleshly wisdom does not consider God in the decision-making process. Fleshly wisdom ignores God. Fleshly wisdom directs man to do what is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 reads, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. The use of fleshly wisdom to address spiritual matters will lead you straight to hell. But understand this point. Understand this about fleshly wisdom. Fleshly wisdom may result in worldly success. Do you know that? Some people will have material success by using fleshly wisdom. Fleshly or worldly wisdom can bring you great wealth. And it could be the force that provides you with all the riches of your dreams and all the pleasures of your mind and all of the glory of this world. However, there are limitations to fleshly wisdom. Take as an example the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And if you read Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, you will see that the word of God says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He knew what he was doing. He was successful. He was rich. He also did what any good businessman would do. He planned for future growth. If you read in verse 18, it records that he said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. But later, in verse 20, God said to him, God called him a fool. God said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. When faced with death, the fleshly wisdom and all that it provided proved to be of no use. At the moment of death, material success will mean nothing. Fleshly wisdom is not focused on the spiritual. Fleshly wisdom does not provide you with any help regarding the state of your soul. You know, to many people, it makes no sense to be here on a Sunday evening. The last time I checked, the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions were still playing. All right? There was a whole lot of football on TV when we left to head to church this evening. This is a holiday weekend. This is my time. This is my time to relax. People who think like that need to understand that there is no time without God. God created time. God owns time. To many people, living a life guided by the Bible is old-fashioned. It is antiquated. It's not relevant. It promotes intolerance. It's not politically correct. It fosters hate. That's fleshly wisdom. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declares, "We did not manipulate you or try to influence you using fleshly wisdom." His conscience testified, his godly conscience testified that their motives were sincere and in alignment with the will of God. So, in summary, the testimony of their conscience reported simplicity or holiness. It reported godly sincerity and a wisdom that was not fleshly or influenced by this world. Instead of being influenced by fleshly wisdom, their conduct was influenced and made possible by the grace of God. By the grace of God. The last point here. The Amplified Bible has the following parenthetical statement in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12 concerning the grace of God. It reads, "The unmerited favor and merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ and keeps, strengthens, and increases them in Christian virtues by the grace of God." R.C.H. Linsky, in his commentary, writes, "God's grace, which is itself the pure favor of undeserved love, draws us upward into a life that is holy and sincere." The fruit of God's grace is simplicity and godly sincerity in the lives of obedient believers. The fruit of God's grace is a reliance on godly wisdom rather than the wisdom of the world. By the grace of God, Paul and those with him were drawn to holy living. By the grace of God, Paul and those with him were willing to labor regardless of the circumstances and regardless of the criticism. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." May the grace of God motivate you as you go throughout the remainder of this year and live in the rapidly approaching year of 2015. May the grace of God and all that he has done to draw you to him motivate you to live the way he wants you to live. God is waiting and willing to give you the help that you need. May the grace of God increase your awareness of God's omnipresence, such as you live, such that you will live a God-conscious life as you travel into the new year. May the God of grace result in a new level of simplicity. May his grace lead you to holiness and godly sincerity and godly wisdom as you experience the blessing of existing in the rest of this year, and if God wills, existing in 2015. To those who are not yet Christians, I urge you to experience the grace of God this evening. Repent and believe, Mark 1 and verse 15. Repent and be baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38. Luke verse 24 and verse 47 teaches that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Confess that you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Confess that you believe that he is the Son of God before this loving and caring assembly. And to the saints, to those who are already Christians, if fleshly wisdom has been influencing your actions, resulting in you falling away, I urge you to remember the words from Revelation 2. In verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works. If you're subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.